Posterity.
All right, welcome, councillors, and members of the public, council officers. This is the ordinary council meeting held at Oakland's municipal offices on Wednesday, the 23rd of July. 10 a.m., which is now.
Amazing.
We have been supplied with the agenda in a normal way. I have to make these announcements because the regulations now require that I advise you that this meeting is being recorded. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We have with us today Reverend Karen Walker, who is going to lead us in a prayer to open the meeting. Thanks very much, Reverend.
I'm going to start with a prayer by Michael Looney. We give thanks for the invention of the handle. Without it, there'd be many things we couldn't hold on to. As for the things we couldn't hold on to anyway, let us gracefully accept their ungraspable nature and celebrate all things elusive, fleeting and intangible. They mystify us and they make us receptive to truth and beauty. We celebrate and we give thanks. Loving God, we remember those who we loved and have since passed on. We remember Dora Murray and Karen's mother, Kay Rowland, and others that we know. May they be comforted by the stories and memories that they have. We pray for those recently and soon to be elected in our state election. May they govern our island with integrity, strength, and for the good of the people. We pray for our councillors in the Southern Midlands Council. Bless them, be with them, with wisdom and a vision where there is land, community and people will prosper. We ask specifically for the land to produce, for those shearing the sheep this week, looking after livestock and tending the fields. Where there is drought, bring rain, and where there is abundance, may we give to those in need. Be with those who struggle, for the lonely, for the frail, and for those in need. From the babies who have been born, to the children in our schools, to those at the multi-purpose centre, may they know the hope and goodness humanity can bring. Be with us in each of our homes, in our businesses, and for those who visit this region. For these things we give thanks, and we pray, if you are willing and able, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very, very much, Karen. Item 2, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and community. We pay respects to elders past and present. Our attendance is all bar the deputy, and we do have an apology from the deputy, as we understand. The reason for not being with us today is exceptional in respect to the deputy mother, and I have circulated card which Councillor Campbell provides us with. If we could all pop your names on that and short wishes, that would be appreciated. The minutes of the meeting held on the 25th of June have been circulated.
Moved.
Thank you very much. I have a mover and a seconder. Are those minutes to be confirmed? Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. As against? Right. Special minutes. So, Friendship Committee is a council now, this is in relation to Woodstar Community Memorial Hall, General Committee, open move the meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, second.
Blackman, thank you, councillor Cameron again. They have been circulated. Any issues there? One of the seconds I thought was interesting, perhaps maybe you could give us a little bit of an expansion on Tim. It said, Andrew spoke verbally to Tim and he said, keep on charging. Yep, I guess that's him. What were you keeping on charging?
So when the, bit of history, when the Woodstar Footy Club folded, went into recession, responsibility for the ground was transferred to the Woodstar Hall Committee, if you might recall,
yeah.
And some new terms of reference were developed to give them authority over both properties. That's still in place. So what's actually been happening is only on event nights, the football club's actually still been hiring through the Woodstar through the Woodstar Hall. So I've just said, look, until such time as we amend the terms of reference and resolve this transfer of ownership, keep on charging. That's the background.
Okay, well, those in favour of those minutes being received?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it, and the recommendations keeping on charging.
Who moved the recommendation?
Moved by Councillor Blackwell. Oh, sorry, the recommendation hasn't been moved yet.
No, I
thank you, Councillor Campbell. And a seconder?
Yeah, I can second.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it.
Very good.
No authorities. Has taken to Council Workshop. That information is there for receipt.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor. Thanks, Councillor. Any issues there? Where are we going to go with the completion of our training modules? Is there a...
They're not available until...
September.
September.
Yeah, we'll have to go back to then.
Anyway, any other matters arising from that? No, I'll put the motion open in favour. We've got briskly to councillor question time. There's no questions on notice, questions without notice. Commence with you, Councillor Fifty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just regarding Kempton, Tim, how are we going? Is there any movement on the Kempton Council Chambers reconstruction or repair, perhaps? That's the more appropriate word. Insurance company have come good.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I can respond to that. They're still working through the process of approvals. They're now getting a fire engineer to analyse and redesign the toilet block. There are windows that face onto the adjoining boundary, and that was current in the building regulations when it was built. Building regulations now don't allow that. So there are a whole range of things. Bearing in mind this incident happened in February, and it isn't us that's holding the process up. And I think it's the price is in the order of, I think, $300,000 that it's going to cost to remedy the works, because they are putting glass bricks in the fire-rated glass bricks inside windows, and they're having to put extractor fans in the roof because there are no open windows. So it's a pretty major sort of project.
Yeah, it is
structurally disturbing.
Anyway, thank you for that.
Certainly there's no dispute from the insurance perspective.
Right, okay, thank you. Second one, some meetings ago, the Mayor raised the issue of what can we do to beautify Kempton, more importantly, keep the historic amenity of Kempton And Grant's not here today, is he? Yes, he is, just coming. I think it was Grant and the deputy were going to look at trying to do something with that.
Mm.
Anything been done?
I can speak it through, Mr. Mayor. Nothing actively councillor listed, but certainly I've been speaking with the planning team regarding amendments to the LPS, proposed amendments. There's some discussion in relation to the removal of the overlay, heritage overlay, on that portion of Kempton.
Right.
And that was a discussion that took place some years ago. Certainly, I've heard some commentary from some architects in Hobart in relation to the loss of visual through the fencing mainly.
Yes, yes.
That will be the issue in my mind, but certainly that's an exempt activity under the current planning scheme.
Yes, yes, yes.
Typically, both front fence heights.
Makes it difficult.
It does, and I'm not sure how we move forward insofar as what we can do to try and, you know, bring in some new rules in relation to that component possibly.
Anyway, I just share the mayor's concern about that, and with the current developments that are going on in Kempton, and there's a major one about to start, it's becoming what I would call more urban orientated rather than historically orientated. So I'd be interested to see what you come back with.
Could you please qualify the major development? You just had some relation to the civic care?
Yes, 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 yeah.
And that's within the precinct, and they actually designed that application in consultation with council's heritage officer.
Yeah, but they're still full of fencing, I think.
And had regard to the fence heights and those requirements under the heritage code, so
yeah.
We'll see a different result on that site as we would on the northern sites in Kempton.
Yes, yeah, very good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Greg.
Just a question, Tim. Did the Telstra guys get back to us yet?
Not as yet. They did send a follow-up email.
Yes.
Confirming the outcomes of the discussion,
yep.
Which included a commitment to provide a schedule of what works have taken place and what are planned. So, but
yep.
We haven't received it yet, but they certainly confirmed that in their acknowledgement email.
And the other bit was with the Tas irrigation piece. Have we had any direct contact with them since we...
I've got a cross asking that. There is a meeting, so this is advice from Barry Curtin, that there is a meeting with Tas Irrigation taking place at 6 o'clock now on Monday evening at Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll actually be away, but I was going to circulate that advice today. Mm-hmm. So the intent of that is, I think, there's an agenda here. Tas Irrigation will talk to hopefully each of those dot points, and I was hoping that the Mayor and or Deputy General Manager might be able to attend Monday night.
Just a quick...
As a follow-up to that meeting... As a follow-up to that meeting on the 16th of June.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's Monday night, isn't it?
Yeah, at 7:00, well, I think that's where the meeting was on the 16th of June. It was.
Did I see a letter from TI, from the CEO, saying that even with what's proposed for Colebrook, with the amount of take-up, it's still not enough?
No, that was advice from Barry Curtin
on the outcome
of the meeting on the 16th of June.
That was the response to that, wasn't it?
Yeah, but at the same time, in that advice, it's indicated that Tas Irrigation will continue to consult and work with the property owners immediately around the dam itself. but Barry's previous advice said once you start getting up towards Lovely Banks and in the higher end of the valley, the price of the water is just unaffordable. It starts at 6 o'clock.
On the 4th?
On the 28th of July, Monday the 28th of July.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, Richmond Road, Cambridge.
Okay.
So now that the election's done, politicians are safe in another 6 months at least, can we reach out from the council to them to make sure that they're across the issues and get their view on how they can do that? Because there's quite a sizeable economic benefit to having this pipeline go up through Colebrook in terms of, you know, business activity that it will generate. And I think getting them to see if they'll commit to a subsidy of the cost in terms of, you know, completing the original vision of that pipeline would be helpful to, you know, skipping discussions with Tas Irrigation.
So this is focused on at least getting the pipeline to the dam?
Yep. So, I mean, it'll generate, there's no other way to generate that level of economic activity in the region. Certainly from jobs and, you know, additional support industries and whatever else. So I think it's a $10 million opportunity, which is not insignificant given the scale of the area. So.
Yeah, certainly that's an item for discussion next Monday night, the socio-economic impacts.
Yeah. But I think getting those guys to start to engage as opposed to just being copied in on an email that your department ignores on their behalf is probably just a good starting point.
It'd be interesting to see whether there's any change of ministerial responsibilities when we know who the players are. Yes.
Anything
else?
Yeah, and just some thanks to Dave for getting the bus stop in down at Campania, and there's some less cold looking people waiting for the bus and less wet given the rain of recent times, so thank you for that.
Oh, I must say, I think it looks a picture driving down through there.
Yeah.
The car park improvements and the bollards and
That contractor did a tremendous job too.
And that was the feedback at the meeting on Monday night too.
Good.
Very good.
No.
I got a couple. Yes. And that is, we have our Legat conference comes up each year and various ones attend. And I'm just curious, when does that come up for the councillors to attend?
November, I think. October, November.
And when do we start putting motions together for that conference?
Well, we can develop them any time and submit them. There is a general meeting on Friday, but that's right. Not the annual conference one.
The AGM is November.
And we've got to actually write that ourselves.
The second question comes from me looking at around the wall at various pictures of the councils of the past. Would it be possible to have an honour board put together listing all of the councillors that have served in council from the time the Southern Midlands Council came to be?
Well, I think that's really the intent of the photos that we're trying to reconstruct. But we certainly have a listing now. As part of reconstructing the photos, we have a listing. Not sure whether an honour ball is warranted, but it's up to council.
That way you've got a record for all time that the public can look at.
Aren't you feeling appreciated enough at the moment, Dave? Aren't you feeling appreciated enough at the moment?
Anyway, that's a suggestion. Well, I guess the issue is completing, if we've not been able to manage the photograph record. Once that's to hand, I guess we can look at somehow setting forward all the names of the necessary councillors and have those available.
That's a job Alan Townsend can do.
Well, Well, I think it's part and parcel of what he's actually dealing with, isn't it? Or...
No, the list is already compiled.
Yeah.
It's just whether we wanted to plaster an honour board in here as opposed to a pictorial.
You can do it in passage. You can do it in passage.
Then you've got to add to it every year and it gets ugly. I don't know. I'm not too sure about it.
It does get very messy because there's varying periods and then summer gaps and then there's some that are midterms, and so it would look very messy, to be honest.
That's why you give down and make it look good.
Any other matters that are on your mind?
That's my lot.
Is it? All right. I'm just going to make sure I'm on silent mode. Sorry. I did have a couple of... Oh, just the usual ones. The Cody Trail to Moodfood, is that any further advance? Are we getting up the road there towards us?
It's as advanced as, getting the easement placed on the titles, but I think we've generally come to the... As soon as we resolve this issue with Taz Water, we're going to jump in and start anyway, aren't we?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So, Kempton End rather than
Moonford. So the latest update was around the priority was focusing on end of financial year property settlement deals and whatever else, getting the banks interested in. It's a long story, but it's going through the legal process. It's just time factor.
I think it's Curtis delivering the title arrangements for the Melbourne Motorway car. Yeah. Any further event?
I think that's concluded, is it? No?
Not that I know of.
We might have dropped the game.
Well, we've got the... It's got to have the title, as I understand, the title has to be concluded, and then Heritage has to say we can go there, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah, that is correct. My understanding is that it was due to be listed at the July Heritage meeting. However, there's something to do with the titles, and it's now listed on the August Heritage discussion. So.
What's the lady's name down there? It was
Abby.
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 Abby. You better maybe see whether or not... Because I think that's what they're probably going to say at the Heritage Council, or who owns it. We can't give it a designated place unless that's organised.
I'll get an update, for sure.
Okay. The block at the old Baptist Cemetery. Is there any progress being made to something like that?
Brett's working on it. Progress, yeah. Low, but high priority because we've got to get our money back from Main Street.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. When you say Brett's working on it,
Do you
have a bit more detail there? Or? What needs to be done?
I'm only going from memory.
Are we just worried about putting over graves or something?
Yeah, so we've got to strip the ground. It's all a matter of confirming the dimensions of the old cemetery.
Yeah.
And providing evidence that there's no graves outside that area.
That's right.
But it involves stripping the ground and... Yeah, there is a name for it. I think they run some sort of penetrometer.
Penetrometer is road construction.
Penetrometer is just what you gave.
What do they drive into the cricket pitches?
Their keys.
Anyway, could we have
an
update on that?
Let us go on straight.
Any other matters, Doug? No other questions about that, so we're going to come on. We press on the word a little bit more before it's
concluded.
Declarations of pecuniary interests. Councillors are requested to advise of a pecuniary interest they may have in respect to any matter on the agenda. or any supplementary items we get. The council has resolved to deal with it. Are there any such declarations to be made? No? Very good. Are there any supplementary items to the agenda that ought to be considered?
No.
No? We don't need to make a call or in relation to that. Now, there are no questions. Will we defend or will we...
Questions, John.
Questions, John.
We do public questions, I think. Very good. Well, this is public question time now in accordance with Part 2, Regulation 8 of Local Government Meeting Procedures. Regulations. Welcome, members of the public. Are there any questions that you would like to address the council?
I do have one. I read with interest the commentary in the workshop about TAS Petroleum's proposal to put a fuel stop on the corner of the highway and into Lacken Road. Trying to get some more information about that, if that's available at this point in time before the DA comes out. For example, is that fuel stop going to be a huge big fuel container just like the one at outside the post office at Baghdad? And will council have any ability to do an economic impact statement on the businesses in the township?
I can provide some detail through Mr. Mayor, Mr. Robertson. Some of those are still, in confidence. We don't have a formal application at this stage. We've been working with the applicants for some months now to look at how this could potentially happen. But certainly, as far as your questions, Joya, would be in-ground tanks, so not above ground. There'd be a high percentage of diesel versus petrol. The intention of TAS Petroleum is to service their, they have supply agreements with a number of transport firms. So if there was a gap in the market for them between 85k range, they've got another fuel depot for their clients. There'd be no food beverage offerings from the site. We're mindful of the need to protect the existing businesses and openings. We're being mindful of the limitations that apply to the current site in Oakland's for heavy vehicles, and so far as vehicle manoeuvring, safety and those configurations. These are large vehicles, what we refer to as A-doubles in the traffic impact assessment. There's a bit of work to come through yet insofar as the formal application. We've made some comments in relation to the highway configuration, and we, DSG and council, are concerned about the potential impacts on efficiency and safety at that junction of Moon's Highway and Lacken Road. But it would literally be unmanned. There'd be a small booth there for card holders to access for a comfort stop. The applicants provided some detailed information on the economics, which is impressive insofar as the benefits to road users and consumers. Fuel price, I believe, is 20 cents cheaper than other fuel providers. We're looking at $5 million development at this stage without any upgrades to roading. So we're reliant on, we're going to get a peer review of the impact assessment from the applicants, and DSG will also be involved very heavily in the process. What do you think of that?
No, I think you covered it.
Certainly, this has been months in meeting with the applicants. Certainly, there'll be a public opportunity to provide commentary. What's proposed is a site-specific qualification, a planning scheme amendment, to bring into play a vehicle fuel station as a discretionary activity in the rural zone.
Will this cater for traffic coming from the south, going north only, or northern traffic?
South to north,
yeah.
But it won't limit vehicles exiting, things north to south that actually access the fuel site. It'll have a dual circuitous access in our arrangement, so that will provide for, upgrades will be required for, you know, eight double vehicles that are proposed to access the site, so...
Even coming from the north?
Well, quite possibly. Again, a peer review of the impact assessment will determine what's required, as will the DSG consultation as well.
It's currently a turning line coming from the north to south.
Yes. I can't picture it, but I'm sure there is.
And Julia, I've had several discussions with the proprietor of the BP service station, Mr. Andrew Fish, and he's very comfortable with it. He doesn't believe it's going to affect his business very much.
Because it's predominantly diesel?
Yes, yes, predominantly. Well, it's, it'll be both down there, but he's quite comfortable with it because he's now got another aspect of his business with mechanical repairs and that, rather than purely fuel. But I was concerned about it when it first was raised with council, and I thought he would have been affected, and he may be to a small degree, but he's not concerned about it.
Okay.
We're very mindful of the impact, potential impact on businesses.
Yes.
And the need to protect that.
Yes.
So certainly the offering insofar as no retail, not even a vending machine on site. So if you want a coffee or a bite to eat, you still rely on existing merchants business for that purpose.
Okay. Yep.
I doubt if it will affect Move Food too much because Mr. Troy Bennett, the proprietor of Move Food, tells me that the food sales are far greater than the petrol sales.
Right.
So he's not worried about it.
That's all good to know.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, public question time is concluded. Should we press on? Was that it?
Yep.
All right. Council now is acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and Council Statutory Land Use Planning Scheme. And we have the Manager of Development and Environment Services in respect to an applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of brief items this morning, Council. Items 4.1 is a Section 90 transfer of land from Mr. Feldberg to some adjoining landowners. On discovery, there was a small parcel of land that was contained within his freehold. The intention of this application, Section 90, is to adhere that section of land to the adjoining freehold of Jennifer Lee Potter and Devon Roland Crofts. I've made it on page 17, towards the bottom there's a bit of an explanation as to how this land was discovered. It's landlocked, been left perhaps behind for a surveying or legal issue many decades ago. This Section 90 application provides an avenue for the applicant to avoid the cost and time of a subdivision. So it's a means to an end, very simple process. So this requires a council seal. The application recommendation is that council affix the seal to the non-owner plan, and we can then provide that to the LTO.
So I'm
going
this way.
Yes.
Yes.
This one is purely information only. It relates to the recently adopted container refund scheme and facilities. It's purely information as far as, you know, there's been an amendment to the current planning scheme to account for the inclusion of this use class in certain zones. So it's purely information only. Recommendation.
Might open it up to give us one though.
Yeah. It gives us the potential. We don't have one there. This one, I believe, is Bockbowl. There's one that's Bridgeport. And likely there's one probably in Campbelltown as well, actually.
I reckon one of the issues that you're going to have to face, if the possible one's anything to go by, is next to the machine, you're made of skin, because A, the machine breaks down, which doesn't accept things, and B, people bring things which aren't going to be accepted, and then they'll just leave them there because, oh, I can't put that through the machine. I don't know whether or not that's something that's being addressed at, you know, statewide. Is it?
Discarded bags, discarded bottles that don't come in. I don't know how often they clean it up, but I'll clean it in the standard.
There'll be some response somewhere insofar as, so I guess they're learning at the moment as to how successful it's going to be. It has been successful in spite of the uptake, no question.
Oh, definitely.
Just where you put it and how you deal with it. Extra rubbish that's going to be accumulated. Very good. Does that conclude? Wait, I've got to put the information as 3C. Does someone move that? Thank you, Councillor Blackwell. Is that all?
Yeah, I can second.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Put the motion in favour. Thank you. That concludes the session of Council Action and a Planning Authority. We then go across to the Manager Infrastructure and Works. Mr. Richardson, please.
Well, you know, nice picture of photo.
Very good. Just see you on a little, how those little scooters going up and down there.
Took a while to capture one without this.
Or what next?
All right. Yes, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any questions regarding my report or any other things that any councillors would like to raise?
In regards to the vandals and issues, are we able to put some security cameras up where adjoining buildings would permit them to be high enough up that they wouldn't themselves be then the target vandalism? So when I'm thinking of the campaign, the toilets where you potentially attach a security camera either to the hall or to the flour mill there, and that would hopefully identify the responsible people, or at least act as a deterrent knowing that they were now on camera.
Yeah, look, certainly we could give that some consideration. The challenge I've always found with high vandalism areas which relates to the use of surveillance cameras is you get footage. However, 90% of the time the culprits are wearing like hoodies, and they can't actually formally be identified. And I've had many discussions over the years with police, etc., and it can end up potentially, you know, they identify someone that gets to court, and because of the resolution of the footage or something like that, it actually gets thrown out. So it becomes a time-wasting exercise sometimes. Yes, it can act as a deterrent, I totally agree, to some people. However, other people out there just don't care whether there's a camera there or not.
Some fairly high-resolution cameras are quite cheap now, so that might alleviate that issue of resolution. That's something that maybe a way to start considering, which is unfortunate we need to go down that path.
Certainly is. But yes, campaigner, I acknowledge what you're saying, Councillor Miller. It would be our highest rate of vandalism in the municipality, unfortunately. And we have been working closely with the local police on various matters. However, they're based at Richmond, the closest one, so it is a real challenge.
There have been cameras on the hall in the past that have just been direct, you know, installed on the roof. They've just been stolen, vandalised. I think the whole committee's given up now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, past endeavours have proved unsuccessful to date.
Well,
still no reason why not to try something.
Well, they can protect the camera with a cage or something, and, you know, and then they're going to have to come back with some real equipment to remove it, which in itself might, you know, become too much of an issue for them. At least someone might be, you know, able to disturb them in their exploits.
I know that the individual that did the driving on Valhalla Park has at least been spoken to by the police. I can use an example. Northern Midlands Council have recently, they opened up a nice grand park area in Longford. And the total cost over a 6 month period of the vandalism that was caused to the barbecue and the toilet block was in excess of $40,000 in a 6 month period. So they'd fix something, they'd get vandalised, they'd fix it, they'd get vandalised, to the point where they've plastered a brand new park, so the only facilities are, well, the toilet and the barbecue facilities in that park area now they're closing. Because, you know, that wasn't willing to continue. And that's, you could argue Longford's probably obviously a lot more built up sort of urban area. And I know the park in particular, and there's houses all around it and everything, and they can't even control it there. So that just proves what a challenge it is, particularly when you have somewhere sort of like the Campania toilet.
Because I had someone in a car doing burnouts in the other week, so it's, I saw it, but saw the after effects of it, so even capturing that sort of thing would be useful.
I think they pinged that there.
The police did get those, the people responsible for that. It's an ongoing challenge.
Especially if we want to invest in developing that park, I think it's probably just going to be a waste of money if it's just going to get destroyed all the time. So.
Craig's position, they advertised internally or externally or both?
Craig Watley?
Yeah.
Look, we haven't made a decision on that because he's actually on leave at the moment for an extended period. Just on that, I'll put in at the rear of my report there, I'd just like to acknowledge Craig Watley and his fantastic work that he's done for just a short stint of 36 years for Southern Midlands Council. And he's been a wonderful character to work with, and he's done some wonderful work for the whole community and certainly the council, and very highly regarded. It's created a big hole, and I'll certainly
want to good luck, you wouldn't come out.
Succession plans there organised?
Yeah, well, you know, I've got to think of the budget. we have another employee, Cameron Burrell, who has stepped into that role. And he's been sort of semi-doing the role, I guess, while Craig's took some recent leave and so on, and he's done very well too.
Would you be compelled to, under the union, to advertise internally?
No, two different positions.
It's your decision, well, it's a council, you and the general manager.
Yes, but they're two different positions.
You're not compelled to advertise it?
No. We're not breaking any rules.
Sorry?
We're not breaking any rules.
No, that's good. Because these things become a bit touchy.
Oh, yeah.
No. If we're talking Craig's assistant manager of infrastructure, if or at some stage how we restructure that position, it would need to be advertised.
Yes. If that position gets restructured. So there's two positions. There was Craig was, his title was Assistant Manager of Infrastructure and Works.
Yeah.
And Cameron is the coordinator of infrastructure and
Works. Right.
So
right.
Two different positions.
Yeah. Very good. Any other, where are we going to do with that?
Very good. I believe you had a bit of work on a tree over the lane, over the road. I don't know if you done it or some of the other council.
I was on call. I took the call, and it was the tree. Ironically, I believe Councillor Fisher was in here voting at the time, and it was cleaned up by the time you would have left Oakland's.
Yeah, well, myself and Margaret had a debate whether we go that way or go the wrong way around. We went the long way around.
You didn't have to.
No.
Yes, well, I've had, to be honest, we've escaped pretty well so far. I mean, given the conditions we had on Saturday and the winds last night as well, a few minor call-outs for trees, which is very good,
yeah,
considering.
Councillor
Fish? Yeah, that's all. Councillor Campbell? Yeah, three little items. Going back to Craig Watley, I can remember when we put the Centennial Federation plate together, and we didn't have people to go on the back of it until the last minute. Thanks to Craig, we had him on the back. And then I sort of got stunned the other day. I see a pole, and I thought to myself, I can't read the sign on that. Next time I went by, it's got a sign on it. So it's take me by surprise. They actually put the sign up on the road, which I thank you for.
Oh, the curves warning signs you're talking you're referring to, yes.
Yep. With Rindaston Road, roughly when will you start preparation on that to prepare it for sealing?
In the coming months, so generally our road reconstruction period starts when the weather gets a little bit better. So probably usually around November, October, November, we will start those works. I've got to get the tender out yet for the stabilisation program.
That's my lot. I'm being kind on you this time.
That's fine. Thank you, Councillor Kenny.
Just a quick question. Well, that is an item in relation to the Campania Cemetery later on, but in the budget there's a Campania Bush Reserve and Cemetery, there's a $300,000 project cost there, and we've got a finalised design for DA. I just wonder where that is at.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in response to that, subdivision's been designed. Certainly the additions of work in the cemetery and putting a cul-de-sac on Water Lane is in that design. Our Achilles heel has been getting stormwater underneath the railway. So we've had to do some extra design work to meet some TAS rail requirements, and the first run at trying to get a stormwater pipeline through that embankment of theirs, they rejected it. So we
wasn't so with gold. Is that the reason, or did they have a better reason?
Yes, there are a range of reasons, Mr. Smith. Mindful of my relationship with Tasrail, I don't want to jump into any reasons, but engineering-wise, they felt that it was inappropriate with the original design. So we've done some extra survey work. I've got a meeting with the consultant on Friday to try and finalise that and prepare a more sophisticated package for TAS Rail to consider. So my target is to get it at a DA stage as soon as possible. But our issue around the urgency is given the value of land at this point in time and subdivisional sale, the return that we would get on the sale of the property if it was unconstructed or constructed would barely offset the cost. So we would need to wait for a longer period to be able to get some return out of it. But our target is to get it approved, get a DA, and then we can consider our options. So hopefully that should happen before Christmas is what I'm thinking.
Is there a budgetary impact to that? I mean,
Is 300,000 going to be enough?
Well, I can comment from this. That 300, yes, it's an allocated budget, but it used to be offset from the net proceeds from the development. So no development, we don't have a budget.
Okay.
So in terms of what we might expend on the development, we'll form this business case as to whether we proceed with it or just put our hands up and it's too hard.
Yeah, and wait.
And wait.
So the design concept is one thing, buying the pipes and following what
construction
Australia wants to do. It's where we've got to spend a lot of money. But we've obviously spent a fair bit of money, I suppose.
On design, yes. Yeah. And it'd be good development because it will provide a safer access into the cemetery, whereas the current access is via Water Lane, which is, as we all know, is very narrow, steep drives on either side. So the idea is as the new subdivisional road will be the access into the cemetery, and Water Lane will be a shareway where people can walk off of the pathway that Dave and his team constructed from the railway line up to Water Lane, can continue that as a shareway up into the bush reserve. Oh. So there are lots of benefits for the community in this project coming to fruition, but certainly the Achilles heel, if I can put it that way, at this point in time is convincing Tasrail that we won't do any damage to the infrastructure. In actual fact, we'll add some considerable value to the infrastructure by being able to drain the side drains of the embankments, therefore to take away some of their issues with the stability of those, that elevated piece of rail, all that comes through that space. Mm. So, yeah. Fingers crossed, everyone, for us to undertake that negotiation.
So, maybe a report to council on your meeting on
That would be my intentions to me.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your report. Do I have a mover that the report be received?
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Butler, I think, and second, Councillor Fiston. I put the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Over again?
Yeah, I have
it. I just want to say one little thing, I'm sure it's put this there before I put that motion, but I did have discussions with Dave in relation to the Lovely Banks Road west of Charlton Park, and that road is a bad S-bend there, I've been concerned about, and I think, just to put it on record, that you are considering doing something in relation to that.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Mayor. I'm just currently looking at what options we have available, and that might include widening there, or it might include guard rail. There's a number of options for that corner. It's rather a steep drop off there. It hasn't been an issue previously, I believe. However, it's been raised as a potential safety concern, so I'll just look at all options available.
Thank you. Very good. We now move to item. Heritage Project Officer, Dave Williams, report. Information received and noted. Do I have a mover? Thank you very much, Councillor Fish.
Oh, second.
Seconded, Councillor. Discussion issues.
That report.
Be received and information noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Now, campaign is cemetery. Post development. Special committee of council.
Take one, pass one. Just a one pager of notes from the meeting. I'll just quickly run through. I think I've given a little bit of background in...
There was a meeting, this is the meeting on the 21st of July.
Yeah, this is the meeting Monday night. So I've given a little bit of background as to why a meeting was planned or held. We fronted up to the campaign to Tappan on Monday night, and there were 9 people, members of the community, in attendance, and there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 apologies. So we just talked about that, the campaign in Bush Reserve and the subdivision development. So I provided an overview of that master plan, which also includes proposed improvements in and around the cemetery, mainly the entrance and fencing in the car park area. Tabled a cemetery plan survey and an aerial photograph. There were some questions around how big is the cemetery and what sort of an area is laid out. And also spoke and made reference to the recently established Woodsdale Cemetery Committee in the terms of reference. So, those present discussed, the need for a committee and who was interested. There was full support for the establishment of a committee with similar terms of reference being based on the Woodsdale Cemetery Committee, which would include that committee meeting twice a year. But one of the key things for those that want to participate, in clean-ups and the likes, by having a committee and by enabling them to complete a volunteer registration form, it provides them cover from an insurance perspective if they happen to do something and someone gets injured and the likes. It was just a bit of interest, some comments there. I don't know whether you know David and Alison Pearce, but David used to be the clerk in the Legislative Council for about 25 years, so very nice gentleman. And he questioned about if there is a committee and the terms of reference in our council shall refer issues to them for advice and whatever, he made the suggestion maybe the terms of reference should actually include a requirement to actually consult with the committee if there was a decision impacting on the cemetery.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
There was, believe it or not, there was strong community interest in retaining the existing cemetery gates. I couldn't even picture what they look like, but apparently there's a bit of heritage value and community history in the gates. So don't even think about taking the gates off and removing them. There was an issue regarding a wall. Now, I couldn't understand what wall they were talking to, about.
Not the collar bearing.
Well, I don't think so. There was some other wall. So anyway, we'll review that at a future site meeting. Comment around inspection of trees, particularly in the car park area, as to whether some were safe. We can schedule that just as part of maintenance. And of course, there's always an opportunity to bring up anything else. So there is evidence of a water break in the vicinity of Water Lane, which we'll report to Taswater. And I didn't put a note there, but it was during that discussion that was acknowledged that the recent work undertaken in campaign was really appreciated and the standard acknowledged. So, quick run around the table from those that were present, and for those that were an apology but expressed a prior interest in being on a committee, their names are noted there, so there's 9 of those. Others just wanted to be there on a voluntary basis and be informed of working bees, so they were noted there. So, I think somewhere I've got there is the proposal and the recommendation to bring back to council is that the council proceeds to preparing some draft terms of reference and establishing a committee. And the idea would be to take some draft terms of reference back to a meeting to be held in late September.
Did you have a formal recommendation about that?
No.
Well, just heard everybody. Did you want that formalised?
Yes, please. I thought I actually did. Maybe I didn't. Following consideration of the proposal by council. So, the recommendation coming out of the community meeting was to seek the establishment of a committee. So, a decision that, along the lines of the council support, the recommendation or proposal to establish a committee and the draft terms of reference be prepared. That's okay.
Very good. Well, the motion is that council proceed to establish a committee of council and prepare draft terms of reference for the campaign cemetery committee. Is that what we're calling it?
Yep.
Do I have a mover?
No, ma'am.
For that, thank you, Councillor Flaxman.
Second.
Second, Councillor Pearce. Any discussions?
Are we going to include in that the recommendations that the comments that's noted there?
I think in the draft terms we will include a statement that council will consult the committee on any decision directly that may directly impact on the cemetery. I think that's fair and reasonable. They had some really good ideas and suggestions, and in terms of if you think about how the Woodsdale Cemetery will operate, there's some, certainly there's a need for some path improvements through the cemetery, and things as basic as where should the paths go, the type of materials. Sounds fairly basic, but the community is very passionate in that area.
Yeah.
So we talked about whether they should be good old bland concrete or something similar to the lake or
Good.
So a bit of a sounding board, basically.
Yeah.
And it's only twice a year, so it won't take a lot of resourcing.
Very good.
Better heading all the
Any other questions or discussions? Put the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you.
Can I stop for Mr. Morning tea, Mr. Mayor? Or do I
motion to resume it was initially by Councillor Blackwell, seconded by Councillor Campbell. Those votes? Those against? The ayes have it. Very good. We resume at item 15.6, which is the annual management report. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. The back or seconds. Any issues there?
I'll make some comments through Mr. Mayor. Sort of walk through the new table. So I want to congratulate Waits for working with me to try and provide as much detail as we can. We've had some feedback from some councillors in relation to more information around the nature of the attack, the location and so forth. The category column on the left-hand side reflects and relates to offences under the Act. It's very prescriptive. We might want to, in time, reduce the number, possibly to make this more legible, but I just want to thank Rachel for working with me to update the report and lots for council seeking more information. So it's as presented. That's all right. Thank you.
I just want to comment, Grant, that maybe we just do it by just exclude all the non-issues, and that way we get a more presentable.
I'm happy to take the feedback, Councillor Miller, and certainly we'll be happy to work with council to fine-tune this and make it more presentable, more legible. So,
I did find a magnifying glass, so that was okay.
Yours is at least A3.
Very good. Well, I think that's to be amended. I think councillors generally appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we've got a mover and a second that the report be received and information noted.
Thank you.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against the ayes? Thank you. We cross over now to item 16, which is the Special Management Committee of the Venture Community Precincts. And there's a recommendation there.
Oh, no.
Yes, Mr. Blackmore?
Second.
Okay, discussion here. Did we need to appoint a member of council to be...
We already have, sorry. It's already noted there that Councillor Blackwell has already been appointed as our representative.
Correct.
With Deputy Mayor Dudgeon being the proxy. So we did that at the May meeting.
Yep.
Now, we three, Mr. Mayor, we will get reports of the meetings.
It'll be the same as any other committee, the minutes will come through.
Like the whole committee's...
Yep.
Well, we'll have a minute taker, won't we? We'll have a minute taker at the meeting.
Council's initially providing secretarial services, so I shall be the minute taker.
Oh.
This committee only will meet four times a year, so...
Yeah, happy to do that, okay.
Unless I can find us. Oh, we'll have to meet at the community club, so that's not a bad thing.
What was licensed?
So when you're increasing it to 11 people, that's quite a significant group of people to get any sort of decision out of, particularly if there's some strong opinions.
I think it'll be monitored and see how it goes. But I think from day one, council wanted to see a representative from every user group. And at the same time, if someone was really passionate to remain involved, that we would entertain them initially. Hence why the numbers from the existing community club management committee have expressed an interest. But I think the best we can do is monitor it. And at the end of the day, they're only an advisory, sorry, not only, they're an advisory committee. So the final decisions will always rest with council. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a good transition, well, with that.
Yeah, if certainly lack of a quorum becomes an ongoing issue, then we reduce the number on the committee.
All right. Any other discussions? It sounds pretty comprehensive. Put the motion down. Those in favour? Would it like you to have any money? I just want to make sure. Does it need money? Or maintain it float or $150?
No, so it won't have its own bank account or anything like that. So it'll be a council allocated budget.
Yeah.
So as you're, well, from the previous reports, we've had the budget that's previously allocated through the MOU, and then we'll have the lease income from each of the three existing leases, so that will basically form the budget. And then from within that budget, just as an example, if the committee says we want to increase the quality of the ground and increase the frequency of mowing and all of that stuff, well then that will obviously come out of the budget. If they want to increase the focus on some other area within the precinct, that's how it'll work. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And what interaction does it have with the lease as a landlord? Does it have any interaction with the operation of the lease? The leases.
So the whole precinct is now owned by council, so it is the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
So the existing leases, some of which are on the on the agenda today. Yeah.
That was clear. Maybe I'll raise that other. Very good. Okay, that matter is going to conclude. The Oakland's Aquatic Centre, Oakland Aquatic Centre.
Excuse me for 2 seconds.
Mr. Briggs.
We'd like to go on that, something if I need to.
Well, there's a report there on the financial performance of the centre and details regarding the usage. If there are other matters that you want to raise on that, Adam, or is that?
No, the only note I'd say on the financials compared to last year's administration fees in June was that Oakland's school had their 3-6 water safety program last year in June. This year they've moved it to July, so that program's worth about $5,000. So that won't be in this financial year that we just finished. It'll actually show up in this new financial year. So that's where I think it was 14.5 this year, and it was 17.2 last year. That's missing a $5,000 program just purely because the schools changed their date. That was about the only thing that I need to mention.
Yeah. I've got one little question for you. In June 25, admission fees, $14,533.
Yep.
June 2024, $17,293.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is that a reduction because less people are turning up, or?
No, that's because of that school program I just mentioned. So that program's worth about $5,000 to $5,500. So that on top, we're actually looking at about $20,000 for June. But basically because of 20 days or 28 days difference of the program being run, it won't show up in that month. It will show up in July at our next council meeting. So you'll probably see a massive jump from July last year to July this year because of that program. So it'll all work itself out. And overall, we're better off. It just won't show up in those figures.
It's just that I want to see people keep going in there, especially learn to swim.
Well, this year compared to last year, it was Oakland's a guide later, and we've also got Oakland's Kinders to Twos in a fortnight's time, and then August is packed with Bothwell and Kempton. So a lot of the schools are now getting it done in term three, right before their school swimming carnivals and the inter-schools, which happen at the end of term three, start of term four. So the schools are now trying to get their programs done as close to that as possible, so then they know what kids can do, what races, and they're not sort of trying to guess, or if someone's away from the swimming carnival, then they just miss out completely on the inter-school team. So at least they've got some sort of results going into it. That's been the change there.
So you're telling me that kids can't swim, so I'm not going to...
Hopefully the participation rates will increase because they're confident.
I used to swim like a fish, and that's how I used to read
out of it. Anyway, apart from that, Adam, you're still 11,000 better off than last year overall.
Well, be the first one to say it's not as good as I would like. We had obviously a few things in the last financial year that we wouldn't have thought we'd have to replace, but we have. And we've gone down the route of replacing them with better quality in regards to, different pumps, rather than putting a $1,500 pump in, we've put a $3,000 pump in, which has a longer warranty and a longer lifespan as well. So we sort of made that investment. While we're paying someone to come in and replace it, we might as well put a better quality in there. Because unfortunately with a lot of new builds, it's always the bare minimum they can get away with putting into a facility.
That's
a huge one for us, unfortunately. So chlorine when it sent to Oakland was say $350 a 20 kilo bucket, it's now $450. So within 18, and that's more in the last 12 to 18 months as well. It was pretty steady there for a while,
But in the last 12 months, it's really skyrocketed. So the other problem we have is the system that we've got is limited to only one supplier in Tasmania. That product that we have to have for those units, there's only one supplier in Tassie, so you're sort of pigeonholed into one price. In saying that, we've been working pretty closely with another supplier in Hobart who can get a hold of these tablets. He can only get them in a larger quantity, so we have to obviously work out some storage and things like that, but they will work out cheaper through a bulk purchase. So we might have a larger outlay, but in the long run we're actually going to be more and we make some tweaks with, you know, how much.
How do you store them in there?
And like the dosing equipment, we've played with the pumps to try and slow down how much it's pumping in. Not that it's ever outside the health department's regulations, but we can make adjustments on how high we have the chlorine and how low. So we're playing with all of that to try and bring down our usage if we can.
Have you approached the manufacturers directly before?
They come from America.
Yep.
So the biggest problem for council doing it directly is they're classified as a dangerous goods.
Yep.
So if we were to freight them over ourselves and all that side of things, we'd have to get a dangerous goods licence and you have to have a trade licence and stuff like that.
Doesn't the council have one
already? Unfortunately, because it's dangerous goods, it does create a bit of a headache. Yes. Mm-hmm. But we are doing what we can to try and get that side down, because that's a big cost. We buy full running chlorine systems.
So what is the minimum water? Is that a container load of this, and can we join up with some of the other?
That's what we've been talking with the company in Hobart. There are other fences around Tasmania that use this chemical and the same system we have. So they're working with them. So they've got to get 8 pallets of these chlorine tablets in. You know, we're taking 3 or 4 off their hands. With the other fences, we'll be taking 2 off their hands. The problem is that a lot of those other centres that have this system are only seasonal pools. So they only order what they need. They know what they need for every summer season, so then they only order that amount of chlorine. They don't order more.
In the context, how long does it take to go through a pallet of this?
So a 20 kilo bucket on the 25 metre pool probably lasts a week. And a 20 kilo bucket on the kids' pool could last anywhere from 2 to 2.5 weeks. Just depends on your load of kids too. So we'll probably go through more chlorine this 3 weeks because we've got the volume of water going through it. It's getting the water's needing that chlorine to counteract whatever's on their bathers or on their skin. And then when you have your quiet times, you don't use as much because it's not being required.
So there's no expiration date on the chlorine?
No, there is, but you're talking 2-3 years.
So we could buy the whole...
We could get as much as we like, it just becomes because they're again dangerous goods, we've got to have the correct storage for them, which Dave and I have been chatting about what we can do to store not only at the pool but elsewhere if required. So, hopefully once that's all finalised, we will see a bit of a decrease in the chlorine costs.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Is there any other questions you want to
ask? His wisdom is greatly appreciated.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. Harold is very focused on the budget.
Well mentored, obviously.
We are, I'll make one other note, we are in discussions with Brighton Primary School as well to see if we can, probably won't get their learn to swim program because of the cost of buses for the education department now, but at least things like swimming carnivals, sports days, end of year play and things like that.
When they're going to have, where they go to
Menorchy? Currently I think they were going, because Menorchy's closed, they were going all the way to Oceania. Probably the time and travel is probably not that much, is it?
No, very close.
The Brighton Swing Centre's closed as well, so that may have some...
So obviously they put out that they were closing that Sunday night. When we got to work on Monday morning, we had 40 emails inquiring about those swings. So, the numbers, I think I put 130 there currently, it's actually close to 150, 155 kids now enrolled for this week, from them three. So we've had an influx. Obviously when they were running multiple instructors at the same time so they could get multiple ability of kids in the water at once. We don't quite have that at the moment, where we're only running one instructor of an afternoon. So just the timing purposes didn't quite work for people. But I would say at this stage we've picked up probably 25 to 30 new clients through that. Which is unfortunate because, it's a big hole in that sort of area now, for lessons. We did break a little bit of rule board from it, so.
Well done.
All right, well look, do I have a need that information to be received from you?
Yeah. Move.
Thank you, Councillor.
Second, I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Blackwell. Any further discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. So that information is received and noted. Yes. We now got the review and amendment of the mobile food vendors policy. Andrew Benson, Deputy General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have talked about this previously and what's given rise to this amendment to place a location in Flour Mill Park has been discussed as part of the Flour Mill Park development, where there were thoughts that maybe the mill building that's owned by the Department of Education could be used as a cafe or an amenity service provider for the park. This was, whilst that mill building is fully used for trades type training at Campania, was felt this could be an interim move to provide a higher level of amenity for that Campania Flower Mill Park in the interim period. So this is the first reading of this. The only amendment is the inclusion of Flower Mill Park into the schedule of locations.
And the whole committee happy about it? They're not worried?
Yes, Robin was very happy about it.
Okay. Well, look, do I have a move that report moved to receive and we consider the draft version? Variation. Thank you, Councillor Pinsick. Seconded, Councillor Allan Buckingham. Any further discussion? No? Put the motion on the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
The next item is 17.12. General Manager Tim Kirkwood in relation to draft policies for consideration in relation to the tech world.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Actually, this is these three policies went through the audit panel a number of months ago, but we just noted that they actually hadn't flowed through to the formal council consideration. So, certainly from an audit panel perspective, they're comfortable with them and had a look, and lay on the table for a month and consider for adoption at next meeting. But just flag that there will be a heap more come on the agenda next month.
Councillor Blackwell has indicated that she's willing to move. So you take a seat, and Councillor Bisbee is second.
It's IT speak apparently.
Is it? Yeah, it's the ongoing. So it could be. It's needed. Those in favour? Thank you. I'll lay on the table. Give Councillor an opportunity to comment at the next meeting. It's very all in between meetings if it helps the development of that policy. Elected members' statements. Do we have any statements from elected members?
hands. Local Government Shared Services, we've got that update, Finance Officer, Ms. Burberry.
So moved.
Thank you very much, that information's to be received, moved by Councillor Christie, second Councillor Blackmore. Any discussions or questions on this Burberry?
Is that a question?
No, very good, no, good information, that information should be received, thank you for that.
They're the good ones.
You say, man, you're finance.
Still got the opportunity to grill you, man. Because I was 17, no, sorry, really young.
17-2-4.
17-2-4. Report to council on various southern rivers plans of projects. Do I have a mover in the motion for that?
I'll move.
Councillor Blackmore, seconded.
I can second it.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Can I say that? Any questions?
Well, do you have one? Is there a grant that we can apply for in terms of helping to subsidise the pipeline extension? Or some sort of infrastructure project?
Nothing that comes to mind at the present time. No, well, that's at the moment, but we can certainly keep it in our notes list. But I have an awful feeling that the availability of grants in the near future is going to be very
slim,
particularly from a state government perspective.
Yeah. You're going to pay for a stadium.
But yeah, no, we can always, we certainly monitor every grant scheme available and keep it in thought. Nothing comes to mind at the moment.
No.
Well, I'm moving a second that the information be received. Any other discussion? With the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Thanks, councillors. Little gap. General meeting to be held on Friday. What's your views?
An agenda full of business, Mr. Mayor. But I'll be an apology, we won't join you, of course. So there's two motions, one submitted by the association itself, and that's actually not applicable to us, but they're certainly from a sector position that should be supported around the rating of new energy developments. But I don't think there'd be any debate there.
Are we in favour of that?
But before you go too far, Tim, if for an argument's sake, Boyer Paper Mill would put in a whole lot of solar panels and a turbine way up the hill, that would get rated what? How?
If it's within the Boyer Mill property, it would just be rated in conjunction, whatever the value of the improvements would just be rated in conjunction with the mill itself. But if it did a power generation off-site somewhere on a separate property, there's this rating provision related to new energy developments and where they're exempt, and particularly wind farms and the like. So local government's actually not getting any benefit from the capital investment within its municipal area. At the end of the day, there's heavy vehicles travelling to and from these sites and all the rest of it. That's what it's focused on. Is whilst they might not be required to pay rates, they want to pay it in little arrangements. And some of the energy companies have negotiated some community incentives.
I was just a little unclear on that.
Would it ever, you say, felt it's not applicable to the Southern Midlands Council?
We haven't got any large scale wind farms or anything.
Yes.
Yes.
I see there's a wind tester up on the top of the den. Is that right?
What is it?
There's a wind tester up on top of the den hill.
No, I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, the council approved the monitoring tower last year up on Jericho.
It's going to be an interesting situation. I'm not too sure how that's going to develop.
So the principles agreed to, and we attract energy development, well, obviously we'll be the beneficiary of it. Hence why it should be supported from the sector.
There may be some different views about whether we attract it in farm. I'm not sure about that. It'll be interesting to see.
And talking about grants, the Better Active Transport Grant Program, of which the state government has not continued funding of that program. And as you can see from the little table, we've been a significant beneficiary from that grant program. So we would definitely support lobbying for reinstatement of the program. However, I do make a comment there. Under the previous grant program, there was an amount set aside purely for basically Hobart. And I have made a comment there that our support should be contingent upon the LGAT lobbying for a single grant program, as opposed to having two separate streams. It'll be interesting to see whether there's any debate around that.
Should there be?
Well, I can't really see why Hobart should be singled out, because they've got greater capacity to fund these type of projects.
So the vote will be 28-1.
Well, it can't be, because Bill gets a weighted voting system and Hobart gets about 5 votes anyway. But it's still... So if anything, Mr Mayor, depending on the debate, and someone may move an amendment along the lines of that little paragraph that says the LGAT lobbying should be just focused on the reinstatement of a program and not be split into two streams, one of which was focused on Hobart.
We're not into segregation.
Approve for one and two, Mr Mayor, two subject to the amendment that it be one stream to one stream of funding. So you will have to move an amendment if no one else does, Mr Mayor.
Does that make sense?
We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Thanks for your invitation, Mayor. Very good. Well, do I have a mover in respect to that?
I move.
Thanks, Councillor. Financial report be received and information noted. Do I have a mover in relation to that?
I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Second, Councillor Blackburn. Discussion, questions for the finance officer. There we go, here, I suppose. Any comments you want to make?
We've received from our thanks grant, we've received a prior payment, a quarter of it or half of it or something?
Half, 50%.
So the other half is due when?
It'll be over four payments next year. So it comes in four payments, quarterly payments.
Four quarters. So we've got three more payments to come.
Four more payments, but they pay half the grant.
Yeah,
so
right.
Does anybody understand it, John? I don't think I understand the truth here. Statement of comprehensive income. You're asking for your list of duties. Did you say we've got those numbers in hand, did you? That was what
you said. We have lots of them, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got some of the election, we received them, but they weren't in the budget. That the money, yes, the money is, well, they've been invoiced. So that comes in as income as soon as we raise the invoice.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that all of those invoices have been paid.
Oh, right, okay.
But the income shows as soon as the invoice.
Yeah.
How's the toilet going, Chauncey? Well, have they finished yet?
Yes.
They have not. This week. Sorry? This week, finished? Yes. That's good.
So if they're going to jack up on an invoice like that, they fly over there pretty quickly, I suppose, don't they?
Yes. Well, usually it's just an administrative thing, so it might just be that we worded it incorrectly or something like that,
yeah.
Because by the time we invoice, you've already signed grant deeds and been through the process, so that's kind of the final part before we get them in.
Yeah. So I have a move that that report be received. Any other discussions? Yes, the infrastructure budget. I'll put the motion that report be received. Motion, no, don't you favour?
No, I can't.
No, I haven't. Thank you. For a donation. Who's going to speak to this?
Mr. Mayor, so this is a consideration of a donation request post event. This election was overlooked at the June meeting. There's an extract there from our community, council's donations and community support policy. So there is a statement that will provide, or entertain requests and consider providing donations for community events up to a maximum of $1,500. I do make a comment in that really that has mainly, primarily, or always been related to the Kempton Festival, as I said, which attracts a huge number of locals and visitors to the area. The Heritage and Bullock Festival sits outside this policy because that actually has a dedicated budget. So I'm not sure the Woodsdale Cracker Night was seen as an event as such that would necessarily be considered under this policy, but having said that, it is a community event and I'm aware of other communities that have had Cracker Nights and whatever, hence why I haven't provided a recommendation and left it up for discussion.
So if we...
I couldn't tell you how many people attended. I don't know if there's any knowledge.
In her letter she says 400 previously.
Previously, so, I couldn't tell you how many attended. But I am aware that I did get some feedback. They took a busload of the residents from the NPC out to the Cracker Night. And apparently they had
lovely, cold, but a very enjoyable night. So it is providing entertainment and activity for the community. So the council wants to consider, I'm not sure it's in the same league as the Kempton Festival, but any lesser amount, council may wish to throw around the table.
How much did the cost of the bins and the toilets and all of that cost?
$400, you say, last year?
I'd suggest delivering toilets is just a quick off the top. Delivering the toilets and collection of the rubbish would probably be 3 hours. Two trucks or two vehicles and a man probably $400 in providing in-kind support through toilets and rubbish collection.
So that's provided by council.
As an
inclined. I think they take it for granted that they'll get the money. I would suggest we give them half, $750.
$750?
Well, that's the $400 that we've already provided them.
$750 plus $400?
Less than $400.
Yeah.
The last cracker night they had, as I was informed, was well attended.
Does this impact on giving future monies to the Kempton Festival?
No, we just take it off the Heritage and all the festival. Or out at the seniors' break.
No.
Or out of the school holiday program.
Well, yeah, as far as we're discussing, this recommendation is submitted for council discussion. Councillor Fish has put up an idea that we should offer them $750.
I'll second that.
Yeah, Councillor Campbell seconded it.
But one thing I would like to see, I'd like to see Tony Cow be a little bit more responsive instead of hanging off to the last minute before she notifies people. And I'd like to see a little bit more marketing and promotion work go on there as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure what date the event was held, but I did acknowledge that we overlooked it at the June meeting, so if you're talking about asking the date as to when that request came to us, it's so it was in advance of the event. But
I was referring to Kempton quite often. She was slow at getting back.
It would be interesting to know what the event actually did cost them.
Yeah.
Of course, might have been a lot less than $700.
But I agree with Don. I think she seems to put her hand up for everything, and I don't think we should necessarily jump every time she writes an email. And I'd suggest we've already given them bins and all the rest of it, so that should be sufficient.
Well, there's a motion before us. We'll see how we go, I suppose. Did you want, if the motion is moved by Councillor Fish and seconded by Councillor Campbell, that the council provide $750 towards the Woodstar Football Club's Cracker Night at Walt, was it Walbury Park, I think?
Correct.
Does anybody want to, should I put that motion or move and second it?
Well, I'd like to suggest we don't
give them anything. You want to move an amendment?
Yeah, but we don't give them anything because it seems like a lot of money and we've already given them reasonable support in terms of facility provision. Toilets, rubbish, and all the rest of it.
So that's an amendment would need to be a lesser amount.
Yeah.
Give them nothing is the complete opposite, so you're just voting against it. So an amendment could be give them $200 or $300.
Well, if we say that we've given them $400 already, then if that's the cost of doing it, then I guess that would be a zero sum payment.
Go ahead, you're finicky. Let's go for a little bit. Yes, thank you. At this stage, you're out of order if you want to propose an amendment. That's what's being put out. So if you wish
well,
to vote against
saying if I just have to propose an amendment for a lesser amount. So
yeah, if you wish.
Propose one for $400 to cover the cost of the bins and the toilets that we've already provided.
Well, no.
To be in addition to the in-kind.
Yes, $400 in addition to the in-kind already provided. Mm-hmm. Is that would give you the opportunity to put that motion.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to do that, it's a matter for you. Did you wish to do that?
Yes.
Very good. Well, that's an amendment that's been proposed by Councillor Miller. Do you have a seconder in relation to that?
So what's the amount to?
$400.
$400.
$400 plus in kind.
Yes, well, it's a total of $800 effectively that they're getting.
I'll second the motion.
Yep. Second amendment.
I think 750 is stretching it.
Okay. Well, I'll put the amendment then that the council provides some $400 to assist with the Woodstock or Prakanoff. Those in favour of that amended motion? Moved by Councillor Councillor Miller and seconded by Councillor Peel. Those in favour?
Aye.
1, 2, 3. those against?
10.
1, 2. What are we
going to do? I need a decision from you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, bearing in mind the fact that we've already provided $400, I assume there's been a systems provision already in relation to the matter to achieve $800. There's been very little information provided in respect to the
expenditure,
I think does make it difficult for council to come to a conclusion about what level of input there was from Woodstock or what charges they made, the provision of entertainment there actually was. So I think in the circumstances the amendment would have succeeded. So I'll vote in favour of the amendment and it will be $400. I move Councillor Bisty, seconded Councillor Van.
So now the amendment becomes the motion, Mr. Mayor. You vote again.
Okay. So now we have a motion before us that the council provide the sum of $400 together with in kind already provided $400. in value to the Woodstock Football Club for the Krakenau. Those in favour of that motion?
Yeah.
All four.
Is that all four? Those against? The ayes have.
Apologies for that to get going.
thanks. I know that's just gone 4 o'clock. The Open Community Association request for assistance. There's a recommendation there. Does anybody want to speak to it, or does anyone wish to speak to it? You can speak to it.
So I think all the information is contained within the report unless someone has any questions.
What are the others? Do with the others around the community or the municipality in replacing these very expensive batteries?
They fundraise.
Say what?
They fundraise.
They fundraise. Yeah.
So it would be nice to be able to afford to do it to everyone.
If we agree to this, the others are going to say, well, if you did it for the community, why can't you do it for us? And there's quite a few around. Yes. What would there be, 20?
It would be between 10 and 15.
Yeah, 15, yeah.
And can I offer a contribution? It is part of 68. If I offer a contribution through you, Mr. Mayor, it is part of 68 High Street. It's
yes,
actually
it is.
Owned by council, so it is council property.
Mm.
Does that make a difference?
No, because we don't actually have one here.
But we've got one at the pool.
Purely because of the close proximity to the medical centre.
Ah.
move that we give them 50% of the batteries and the pads.
So the recommendation is that we recognise and support the vital role of AEDs play in giving community safety health outcomes. We commend the Oakland Community Association for taking the initiative to make life-saving equipment accessible. Encourage them to explore alternative funding. That's the recommendation. Sources such as grant programs like sponsored fundraising assists. So we would exchange C for provide them with $400 to support that. Okay.
Well, Mr. Mayor, if I could suggest that if C is substituted for 50%, given
sorry,
that...
This wasn't sure. You said $400. How do you work that out?
It's 300 and...
I just said 50%.
35.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not to be done.
Given that it's likely to... whilst this should be specific, I think it should be 50% reimbursement upon claim. Mm-hmm. So the association replaces the batteries, the pads or whatever, and then in the knowledge says, here's the invoice, can we have 50% reimbursement? Mm. Rather than having a flat donation or whatever, have a process in place as part of the decision.
Because I think you'll probably get a few more.
I think so.
Yeah, so once people are aware, they will start applying for it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you're happy with that amendment?
Huh? Hopefully we don't get too many, because it means they're being used.
Well, that's not necessarily.
No. Apart from the batteries.
Tim, remember, I had a blood clot go through my heart, and I did all the right things, so I was lucky. But some people don't consider their health the same way, and defibrillators are a very important item.
No doubt about
it. We recognise that in the motion.
And I would say they deserve more than 50%.
Now's a chance to make an amendment if you wish to do that. Councillor Busy hasn't got a second, is it? There's several and second Councillor Busy's. Second for Councillor Blackwell. So the motion of the moment is that it be 50% of the batteries and pads, I think that was expressed.
On recognition that it's on
play.
Reimbursed.
Based on a bid on council property.
Councillor Campbell wants to move an amendment to that to have it changed to 75% rather than 50% of the pads and batteries subsequent to receipt of the invoice paid. Do you have a second for that? Taxes for second. So the motion now is to put on the basis of 50%. Move Councillor Bistic, second Councillor Blackwell, A, B and C with the payment of 50% of the batteries and pads subject to receiving the invoice from paid. Very good. Those in favour of that?
Aye.
Those against?
Never loves this as far as the minutes.
Yeah, I was happy there. We'll note that Councillor can be voted against.
Now, we have Mr. Finn,
nice to
present
charges.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a bit of a back capture of item 12.4.1. When we compiled our fees and charges for this FY, we didn't include a fee that captures the application we dealt with under 12.4.1, section 90. Anyhow, what we have here is a fee we can impose like applications in the future should they arise, and it's recommended that we amend the existing fee schedule to capture this new fee as recommended.
Very good. I think that's pretty much the only move out. Thank you, Councillor Brooks. Seconded.
Yes, I second.
Councillor Blackwell. Any further discussion? All right, moving along, other MGAs. Now, this is a recommendation of Goodsworth. Regarding 15 of the local government meeting procedures regulations, that the following motion be dealt with in closed session. Those council minutes, self-absolute absence, all town minutes, Baker Community Precinct childcare set offices, Baker Community Precinct property versus land purchase, Baker and curbside waste and recycling. And in accordance with the local government leading regulations, the council now moving the process and moving the close to member of the public. Councillor Campbell, second.
I'll have a second.
Councillor Fish. Very good. Those in favour? Yes. Those have been out in closed session. The meeting then is continuing to be recorded. We're now out of closed session. And I close the council meeting at about here after 10 past 1. Thank you very much for your attendance, 1 AM.
Now we come to the sustainability budget note there on its head.
There you go.